Welcome to Auntie Kiko's podcast. Enjoy!
The problem. You see this marriage thing?
No, it's not. It's a very beautiful thing. The truth is, I'll say this, Yvette, humans were not designed to be self-sustainable by design.
So independence is
not,
flawed.
Yes, you were not designed to be self-sustainable. You were designed to need a man, and a man was designed to need a woman. I can tell you from personal experience.
Why are we not needing each other? Why are we dropping each other like options and treating each other like choices?
Because for the most part, when it comes to the higher cognitive levels, humans are self-centered, egocentric, egotistical, and selfish.
So it's the question unless, of course, of you choose striking a balance.
Discipline and restraint. Again.
Oh, back to discipline and restraint. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it makes the world sane and chaos-free. Harmony. You know, that's where you find harmony. But the truth is, I can tell you from personal experience that even I used to be a lot more self-sufficient. I used to be a lot more efficient at being self-sustainable.
Okay.
Over the years, I've become far less efficient. Currently, I'm very, very incapable of looking after myself.
Do you think the more you grow older, the more that need of codependence grows?
Yes. Yes. The older you grow, the less capable you are of looking after yourself.
Random question. This is completely off topic, but this is us.
Go on.
Why is it when, let's say, hypothetical again, you and I are an item. Again, God forbid, touch wood. If I die first, very rarely does the man like live longer. Like shortly after, you'd probably follow your wife. But then when it's vice versa, when the woman is a widower, then there's higher chances.
She lives long.
She lives her full life.
Yeah. It's simple.
Is there like a more codependence on women as men grow older, if that's the right way to say it? Or
no, it's much simpler than that. Women always have to make a grand entrance and exit. And they always have to make you wait.
Yes.
So even when I die and go there, you're still going to have to make me wait for you.
Like, oh, shit, she's busy living her best life and I'm waiting.
I mean, there's never been a case of, oh, okay, so I'll pick you up at 8 and she's right there at 8. No, you have to wait like a half hour at best.
At best.
So is it any wonder? No, but here's the thing, statistically, biologically, the female biological system has the capacity for longevity more than the male biological system. That's just, you know, and God forbid, men all over the world listening to this, I apologize, please forgive me, do not come for me. We're absolutely useless without this. I'll be very honest with you. We are absolutely useless without women. That's the truth. Seriously. In one capacity or another, a man is useless to himself without a woman. So,
and you know, it's funny that you said that because I was watching for the 100th time an episode of Explained on Netflix. I absolutely love that show, guys. Check it out. And it said even physically, the way our organs are designed, like, men are designed to be like givers and women are takers.
It's a jigsaw puzzle. Does it take a rocket scientist to see that? It doesn't. No?
No.
It's a jigsaw puzzle. One fits into the other.
True.
It's not. It's really not rocket science. Logic.
Then why is one woman not enough? To go there.
You know, I feel like you were working your way up to this.
No, I'm not. I'm being a B word. I'm just being like.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Because for the most part, men are, you know, we're conquerors by nature. We want to conquer. We want to expand our territory.
I wish the metaverse can actually create a simulation where for a certain amount of money, I can watch a man at the beginning of a relationship, like get into his brain. You know how they have smart technology now?
So, forensic psychology, that's mapping the person's behavior based on their experiences, their memories, what they've been through, what they've interacted with, who they've interacted with, where they grew up, the society with which they grew up, the paradigms that they grew up around, the norms, all of that. It's behavioral analysis.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. That's my specialty in psychology.
You should check out this series. I think you'll really like it. It's called Bull.
What's it called?
So Bull, B-U-L-L, Bull.
Ah, right.
His name is Jason Bull. So yeah, the show is named after him.
But there's always that light level of unpredictability within the human behavior or human condition.
Systems can never play God.
There are certain things that it's not about playing God. It's math. It's mathematics. The interesting thing about the human mind is it can be simplified into a simple mathematical equation quite efficiently too. Humans are not nearly as complicated or as smart as they'd like to believe. Humans are disturbingly simple. If you were to write a code for the human mind, it'd be a very simple short code. We like to believe we're the most, like a program code, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. We like to believe that we're the most complex beings on the planet. We're actually not. We're actually very disturbingly simplistic and very, very predictable.
Maybe
now,
that's why life was much more sweeter when it was simpler.
Exactly, yes, actually. Now, human social behavior, the mathematical equations for calculating these things, for instance, game theory, is a mathematical theory called game theory that predicts human social behavior. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but what I have to say about this is, see, every time humans deviate from the natural order, things end badly. But for some weird, inexplicable reason, we go back, formulate a new way to defy the natural order and think it'll end differently.
Stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Insanity. Insanity is the repetition of an action over and over again, with each turn expecting a different result.
So we're all insane.
So this is why I believe in this. Mostly. This is why I believe in certain institutions like marriage. Okay. Leave it simple. You know, follow the natural order. Mm. There's a reason why it's called the natural order. I'm all for growth and progression and development. Certain things should remain per the natural order, because a lot of other things are hinged upon them, right?
So it's for now, the greater
if
good.
You yes, now if you have an open marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And because you have an open marriage, you end up having a son that insists on sleeping with everything he comes across. How do you tell him that is ill-subscribed? How do you stop your son from randomly sleeping around?
Don't monkey
when your son is very aware that.
And it's probably genetic.
Are you familiar with a thing called attachment theory?
No, educate me, please.
Attachment theory. Our first relationship in this world, the first people we related, being mother and father, go a long way towards determining how we relate with everyone else we come across in life and how we form personal relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, you grow up in a family or in a home where your dad and mom are allowed to sleep with other people outside of the marriage. How do you think you're going to grow up?
Probably repeat the same cycle. Get stuck in a relationship in the same cycle. Because that's what you've said.
No, he will take it one step further, believing relationships in their entirety are necessary. So he will never actually form any kind of meaningful relationship, thereby never ending up with a proper partner that he's fully committed to, thereby not, you know, continuing on with the natural progression of the human species. Because how do you explain to your son that it's not okay to sleep around?
When you're sleeping around.
Thank you.
Good question. Daddy's in the house. Give us answers. If you're sleeping around.
I know that a good portion of people are going to think this is very judgmental, but I say this without judgment. This is purely an academic postulation. I'm posing a question. Mm-hmm. An academic question. How do you tell a person? Because the understanding of a child is far different from the understanding of an adult. Understand that children have not been exposed to all the complexities and weirdness and vagaries of the world.
True.
They see things much simpler. It's true. Black and white.
True.
So how do you tell a child that sees things in black and white?
That's why kids don't even recognize race.
There you go. So how do you explain to this child that it's not okay to just sleep with anyone you feel physically attracted towards. He's watching you do it.
Exactly.
But he watches you do it.
You're not walking the talk. You know? True. Actions.
So now you're damaging the child because you're doing one thing and telling him another.
That's just my cue to go to school and become a psychologist, because there's clearly a high influx of damaged people that will need therapy.
Wow.
What?
Extortion? What? That's extortion.
Demand and supply. We've already addressed that it's still a very new phenomenon in Africa.
Capitalization,
why don't I jump first mover advantage real quick, add my flair, my spice, get a talk show, write a book,
capitalism.
Become a top-notch psychologist purely on branding.
There you go. Oh, yeah. We fully support you.
You'll pay for my school fees. I'm looking for a scholarship, but I'm down. Like, I'm ready to do this. Psychology, here I come.
Yeah?
101.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I actually enjoy listening to people's problems. Like, that's the one time where I can numb everything I'm thinking and be fully engrossed in this person's experience. Then, after that, either compare it to my own and evaluate how bad or how good my life is.
Yeah, but you know that being a psychologist involves a lot more than just listening. Yes.
What are the other?
It's not just listening. It's listening. It's listening. It's being able to remain logical and objective.
That's actually one thing I've realized about things. You. You're very, very rational. Very.
Yeah. Being able to maintain rationality. Being able to efficiently compartmentalize, right? And being able to remove yourself entirely from the situation and not compare it to anything you've been through yet and not pass judgment.
Oh, most important. Judgment, though. I'd be that therapist who, when the patient says, "Oh my God, I'm going through," I'm like, "Oh my God, same, sis, same."
Exactly. So you can't do that. You cannot do that. So that's a problem. So it's a lot more complicated. Let me say this. To be a psychologist efficiently, you need a certain level of emotional retardation. And you have to be, you have to be able to separate your intellectual intelligence from your emotional intelligence.
I can't do that.
Because they're two separate
flat
things.
Out. Mine are so intertwined. One can't go without the other.
Well, to be a psychologist, efficient psychologist, you need that. You need to be able to do that. Remove the two from one another.
Very rarely, my immediate go-to intelligence is emotional. And as a result, sometimes I overreact, especially when it's matters concerning the heart. I can never be rational about it. But somebody else...
That's natural human phenomenon. It was the reason why mostly... which is why mostly you find that people watching a game of chess from the sidelines
always
tend to see more of the moves than people actually playing. Yes.
Correct.
Emotional investment.
Correct.
If you're emotionally invested, you're compromised. But if you're not emotionally invested, you're not compromised. So you have better objectivity and you see better. It's that simple. It's a natural human thing.
We're
almost
hitting 2 hours, Abu, and we're going to hit these people in 3 hours. They're going to kill us for eating their bundles. Let me jump onto something else.
Okay. Right, please do.
Random question. What have you tolerated in the past that you no longer have space for right now?
Wow, that's interesting.
I came in clutch with the questions. My prep was A1. I'm dealing with an intellectual guy. I had to deal with the intellectual questions.
Judgment.
That's actually a great thing considering a conversation.
I went through, yes. I am generally, I'm the sort of person that I don't give a shit what you think. I am what I am. Take me or leave me, to be honest. And I'm very blunt. If I think you're an idiot, I will tell you you're an idiot. Or at the very least, I'll tell you I feel or I think you're an idiot.
It is it's not a general consensus, but you're an idiot.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're necessarily an idiot.
But in my opinion,
just feel as though you are. I just feel as though you are, so throughout my life, I didn't care. I'm who I am. Now, I went through a brief time in my life where I sort of attempted to care what people thought of me. Right? I don't know what you're finding so humorous.
The attempt.
But I'm glad it's tickling your fancy.
It's least the attempt.
I'm glad that tickled your fancy. It was brought to my attention that perhaps I should be a bit more sensitive towards
you think?
The perceptions of others. Yeah, towards, well, it turned out to be a very bad idea. Yes, multiple times, you know. And so I became tolerant of people's judgments in the sense that I
what's like one judgment that you had
how they judged
passing
me.
On you that probably was like, ah, what is this now? Really? This is what people think of me?
Yeah, exactly. So
give
it
like
opened
a scenario.
It
give
opened
like an
the door to all of it. Okay.
I need to
okay. Okay. We're about to touch on something a bit more personal.
Okay.
I,
nice way to end the show.
I Let's used go. To be married.
Boom.
I used to be married.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Okay.
Over a decade ago.
Okay.
Now, when my marriage ended, it was an ugly end.
Mm.
Well,
can you actually have a beautiful end to a marriage? I don't think so.
You'd be surprised.
Really? You know what I realized?
Yes.
There has to be chaos.
Yes.
There has to be chaos. Chaos is part of
no.
the journey.
Okay, yes. But it can at least be within acceptable...
No, I don't think there's acceptable
you know, levels.
Chaos. At that point, someone is simping. Someone is trying to sympathize and empathize beyond their own happiness. And that's the
for
one
me,
thing that I don't have
for me, it was. For me, it was a bit too, what's the word I'm looking for? Toxic, you know? We were incompatible. We were bad for each other, which I take full responsibility for, by the way.
So are you saying
I should have
assumed
known.
You were attracted to her, but then maybe that...
Immensely so.
I surely have.
No, I was immensely attracted to her. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But I was young at the time.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, we were very, personality-wise, we were very incompatible. Now, I should have taken that a bit more seriously than I did, but some things are fate.
So at that point, that wasn't like a determining factor for you, but you now realize how important it is.
I was young. I was stupid.
We've all been there. Those two go together. Young,
I mean,
hung.
I'm not immune to being stupid or making
Nobody
stupid
is.
Decisions.
Nobody is.
I've
you
made
said
quite
something.
A number of them in my life.
You said pain is a necessary.
So yes.
You have to learn
pain
that
is necessary
happen.
For growth.
True.
It's necessary for growth. That's what tells you that you're approaching your limit and you're exceeding your limit. Anyway, so that happened. We were incompatible. We were very, very bad for each other. We triggered one another left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to a point, we got to an impasse where, quite frankly, the only way forward was to dissolve our partnership. To be honest, I wished it had been amicable.
Mm.
I tried to make it amicable. But what I thought was an amicable dissolution, it turns out, well, as the old saying goes, woman scorned. So a lot of stories, crept up and accusations and, all of that whole nasty thing, really nasty. But per my state of being, per my sensibility and the sensibility I was raised with,
mm-hmm.
I decided to not partake. I wasn't going to partake. And my family decided the same. We weren't going to partake. We weren't going to come into the marketplace and make more noise.
Mm.
Right, so we just turned a blind eye and deaf ears to it all. It got really bad. It got really, really bad. So at a point in time, I started to tolerate all of that by, sort of entertaining it. Especially when I was, I started seeing somebody and, they caught wind of the stories and they came up to me. And at the beginning, I really didn't care. Whenever the person, the lady and I started talking and she brought it up, I was always like, you know what? You can be one of two sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the sort of person that hears something about someone, takes it and moves with it. And in which case, I would say goodbye to you. Have a good life, no harm, no foul. or you belong to the second category, which is a category of people that decide to get to know a person and judge for themselves, right? Now, if you're the sort of person that makes a habit of judging other people based on what other people say,
which is probably a reference of your past.
Yeah. And quite frankly, you know, you really shouldn't be here. I don't even want you to be here. But if you're the sort of person that decides for themselves, wants to find out for themselves and, you know, judge for themselves, then, you know, welcome.
But don't you think that's also a very, like, thin line? Because think about it. Let's say I get into a relationship with someone and I've heard that he's a violent person, but I still want to be in the relationship and discover it for myself. Shouldn't the precedence...
You don't have to expose yourself to the possibility of being victimized in order to find out the reality of what that person is. There are telltale signs. Violence, the tendency for violence is something that, a tendency for extreme violence is something that cannot hide. There are telltale signs. Mind you, every human is violent.
True. Everybody has a limit. True.
Everybody's got a threshold, yes. Correct. So to say you're going to judge a human based on being violent, that's just unreasonable because everybody's violent. You just need to get them to the right place. Now,
but what if there's a
pattern? You don't have to.
I know all your three exes. This is your common theme. You beat women. I'm going to save this man. I'm the one who's going to change him.
Then you're just stupid. You're just stupid. Yeah. But you see, in my case, it was different because I had dated a whole slew of women before marrying my ex-wife. There was never a single report of all the allegations that came after my divorce, right? Not a single one. And all of these allegations came right after I had served the divorce, right? Why didn't they ever come
before?
During the marriage. There was nothing, you know?
She was hurt, and as you said, you were young. At that point, vengeance is there.
I mean the allegation that I'm talking about the legitimacy of the allegation.
I get it, yes.
And mind you, I initiated the divorce.
I was just about to ask that question. Thank you so much for answering
it. I initiated the divorce, right?
Do you think it's easier for men to come to that decision than women? Because women,
I can tell you firsthand, it's not okay.
Because women, I feel like we are by nature designed to endure.
It's not about the endurance, it's about... I can tell you that it was the single most difficult decision I ever had to make in my life. And it's a decision that changed me beyond my own understanding to this day. You can't do something like that without a scar. It's impossible.
You can't remain the same after.
It's impossible. Until this day, I haven't fully grasped the scope of that of the effect it had on me or how it changed me. I haven't till this day.
Question.
So I'll say to you, no, it's not. Yeah, go on.
Has that left you scarred, or is there hope that you could try it again?
For marriage?
Yes.
I love the idea of marriage. I can't wait to get married again. It wasn't the institution of marriage that failed me. It was I that failed myself. I said this at the very beginning. At the very beginning when we were about to start talking about this, I mentioned it. That the failure of which I take full responsibility for, by the way. I did mention that. I take full responsibility because, one, I was the older one. Two, I was the man. It was my responsibility to establish the viability of the union before entering into said union. Because let's not forget that we take a woman's hand in marriage, not the other way around.
So and you don't like this notion of women proposing?
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't like being hunted. I'm a hunter. I should never be hunted.
Someone said I would rather soak a pair of jeans in hot pepper and then chew it for the rest of my life.
No. Here's the thing, right? I like to hunt. I believe in the natural order of things. I'm the hunter, Yvette. Mm-hmm. I should never be hunted, right? That is a perversion that should never be allowed.
There are men who prefer the latter. They enjoy being chased. And I feel at that point you actually get spoiled for choice,
Yvette,
because now...
Yvette, I'd like to correct the statement.
Please.
And for anybody within the viewers that, you know, may find this controversial or slightly perturbed by this or offended by this, choke on it. Boys like to be chased.
Boys,
there's a difference between a boy and a man.
Okay.
There's a difference between a boy and a man. A man gets up and goes after what he wants. Mm. A boy sits there and expects what he wants to come to him.
Mm.
A boy wants to gain without working for it. A man would much rather work for what he has. There's a difference. And like I said, if you're perturbed by this, choke on it. I am unapologetic.
Shots fired.
There you go. There you go. It was about time I fired.
Oh, yes. Yes, I was waiting for it. The build-up was worth it. I love it.
Yeah. So, no. And sadly, a lot of men out there these days, quite frankly, are disappointments. I will say this.
And trust me, the dating pool gets even thinner the older you go.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. The women are not entirely blameless. Lots of women out there that are completely total idiots.
Right between my
ventures. Oh, no. There are lots of women out there that are complete and total idiots.
True.
Entitled idiots. Women that say things like, you know, women that believe that they're the next best thing after Virgin fucking Mary. You know, you're not doing any man any favor, for fuck's sake. Nor is any man doing you any favor. You're doing each other a favor.
Mm,
people should learn to respect that. A woman needs a man just as much as a man needs a woman. Now, wherever you have one side of the coin feeling entitled, you're going to have a problem. Women need to start recognizing that they need men.
Mm.
Just as much as men need to start recognizing they need women.
Mm.
Right? As a woman, you were not designed to be capable of everything at the same time.
Correct.
Nor was a man designed to be capable of everything at the same time. We were designed to complement one another, right? Which is why women think faster than men. Yes, women think faster than men. I'll be the first to tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why women are capable of multitasking. It's not that they're thinking of 10 things simultaneously. It's that they're jumping between the 10 things so fast that it might as well be simultaneous.
Correct.
Men think deeper than women. Right? Yeah. That's why men are able to anticipate consequences a lot more potently than women. That's why men make better strategists, because they're able to see deeper into situations. Right? Now, having said that, no one gender has the right to be entitled. Don't sit there and say, oh, if he wants me, he has to be this and that. Screw you. Fuck you. Fucking Princess Diana. You know?
But I want what
you
I want.
You have to be worthy as well.
I want what I want.
You have to be worthy as well.
Facts.
Then be worthy of it.
Correct.
I'm sick and tired of sitting down to listen to women say, oh, where are all the good men? I'm tired of these douchebags. Have you made yourself into the sort of woman that a good man would be attracted to?
Mm-hmm.
This is the question, right? Don't just think that a good man is just going to come for you regardless of what you are. Oh, no, there are certain things that good men see on day one. Likewise, the men don't sit there and believe it. You know, when a good woman comes along, she will come for me. No, you're not fucking Adam.
I mean, he's the reason why we're in this fucked up shit anyway. I keep saying, man.
No, he's not. It was your mother. It was your mother's fault. She deceived us.
Hear me out. I'm saying they should have been Chinese. That way they would have eaten the snake and not the fruits. And oh, yeah, that's wouldn't just great. Be in all this bullshit. We'd be just hunky-dory in freaking paradise, living our best lives.
Seriously, I feel like people nowadays have become too entitled, men and women alike. I mean, you want a good mate, you want a good partner, you have to be worthy of them, you know? Be worthy of them. Make yourself a worthy husband. Make yourself a worthy wife. Don't just sit there and expect that things are going to come to you. They're not.
But in the same breath, if it doesn't happen, it's also okay.
It's also okay. It's okay. You listen, you can't force causality. You can't force things to happen, you know? You just do the best you can and just hope for the best. Hope that the universe makes the rest happen, you know? If you're not fortunate enough to have a life partner, then make do with what you have.
True.
There you go, yourself. You know? But nobody should ever choose to be alone. That's just a recipe for misery, you know? But if it doesn't happen for you, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep being you. Remain worthy. You know, work on your life, and eventually the right person will find their way into your life, you know?
I just need the tracking number, because I feel like my right person is lost. I just need to know, like, estimated time of arrival, like, Abu, like, you know, I just need, like, a timeline.
Let me ask you something.
Like, I just need
some
confirmation that he is on the way.
Let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
What's always been your dream, even as a child?
Frankly speaking, my dreams have never included a man. That's the weird thing.
Really?
No.
So you don't value the whole family thing?
I've never seen
like
it.
Family, the white picket fence thing?
I've never seen
No, I'm not
it.
Talking about what you see. I'm not talking about what you see in the cards for yourself. I'm talking about how much value does it have to you?
Thing is, I can't really put a value on it if I haven't felt it. I'm a very experiential person.
Okay. And let's try this another way.
My whole life, I've seen unions, but I feel like when I saw them, it was like they were selling to me the idea of how good it is. And then you end up hearing the water cooler conversations of, oh, behind this facade, it's this and that and this and that. And I'm like,
Nothing is without its messiness.
I agree.
The truth is, marriages are messy. Their relationships are very messy.
Very messy. And it's a daily conscious decision to make it work.
Let me put it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You simply find that person who's worth the mess. I mean, currently, I live a very clinical life.
Mm-hmm.
No mess, no fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too clean. Let's put it that way. A little too clean. You simply find that person who's worth the mess, who you want to be messy with.
True.
I mean, it's like sex. We all like to have sex, no?
True.
Sex is a very messy affair when you think
very
about it.
Very messy and very nasty.
I mean, it's nasty and dirty.
It's horrendous. Ew.
But you do it all the same, don't you?
Facts.
Why?
Because it feels so good.
Cost-benefit analysis. Everything comes down to cost-benefit analysis.
So I have to get through the mess to get to my orgasm, which is something that would give me joy, and that's my benefit.
There you go.
And the cost is the messiness.
Yeah, the cost is all the insecurity and all the, you know,
that
emotionality,
borderline anxiety
and,
of waiting to know, oh, once this happens, there's a shift in energy.
There you go.
As Nigerians say, he has seen me finish. Now he's done.
There you go. There you go. So, you know, that's what it is. You just cost-benefit analysis. Is the benefit worth the cost? You find that person who's worth the messiness.
So the overarching theme of today's episode is that cost-benefit analysis. And sometimes the cost is pretty steep.
Yeah.
But does that
sometimes the cost is pretty steep.
But does that, is and the
other
steepness
times,
of the cost a guarantee of the juiciness of the benefits? I would just
say sometimes we just bite the bullet.
Yeah, that's true. Take the L and keep it moving.
Sometimes we just bite the bullet and hope for the bloody best.
Taking L's, Abu. I want to win. I have too much experience in L's. I want to know how it feels on the opposite side and just win and flail and be lost in love.
Well, then there's only one way. Well, then there's only one way to find that. Is that what that is? press on.
Okay, I will.
Hey, you've come this far.
True.
It'd be a damn waste to stop and give up now.
Facts.
So, logically speaking, you've only got one move.
And on top of that, I personally feel the person who's marrying me now is getting more of a finished product than had somebody married me way years before. You get what I mean?
Well, that's not entirely a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not entirely a good thing because, see, in lost cases, the thing that creates that irreplaceable and unbreakable bond is the growing together.
Mm. But I kind of like that.
Discovering yourself together with this person.
Yeah.
But see, the good thing about this is you still got a lot more growing to do. I mean, you're still in your 30s, are you not? So you're still a child. You're left to below 35. I mean,
I am hitting 35 in November, Abu.
Let me put it this way. You're a millennial.
Yes, I am a millennial.
You're still growing. Don't get your knickers in a twist.
They're definitely not, I'll tell you that. Because as much as I'm a millennial, I also like my things. I'm the microwave generation. I need results. Real quick, instant results. Hence why I'm just saying, give me the tracking number. At least just give me the confirmation.
Would you rather have gourmet ramen or instant ramen from the corn store?
Not the instant one. That one makes me bloated and it just feels like I'm eating stuff.
Exactly. You'd like the gourmet one that's made fresh in a really nice fancy restaurant.
Yes.
There you go.
And I can smell
it. And that takes time. The instant ramen takes 2 minutes. Quite literally. So, I mean, it takes time. All good things take time.
Right now. Where is he?
Okay, wherever you are, Mr. Man, please show yourself.
Meanwhile.
It's about time to reveal yourself, yes. Yes, coming back to your main question, I became tolerant of what people thought.
Yes.
For a brief moment. And I'm over it. At some point, I got over it. And, I tolerated it, but no more.
Mm.
It was for a brief moment. But, yes, I did tolerate, you know, the idiocy of people or, you know, what they thought at a certain point in time. And, yes, I'm no longer tolerant of that. What do you think is your problem?
Kind of on the same line as you. In my 20s, I boxed myself a lot. A lot. It goes back to what I said about best practices. Like, this is what I know. This is the code that has been embedded in me. These are the values that I live with. These are the ones that I can be slightly flexible with, but these ones I'm extremely rigid because these are my principles. But then I've analyzed something about my life. At the beginning of every decade, I'm always building. I'm always in a phase of absorbing and learning. And then at the later stage, like the last 5 years of any decade, I'm always reaping the fruit. So I go through grueling change and growth at the beginning of any decade. In 2010, I just moved to Dubai. I had been here a year and probably 9 months. So it was the first time I was living in a foreign country. This was actually my first international. No, I went to school in Uganda. I lie. So, yeah. Same borders, but this was when I moved far away from home.
I've never been to Uganda. I hear it's nice.
Oh, very, very nice. You would like Uganda.
we'll
talk off air. I'll give you the gist.
I'm ashamed to say that I haven't traveled much within Africa.
Mm. We need to fix that.
Mm. Yes, we do. I hear there's some really, really nice places within Africa.
Yes, we can start with Kenya.
Yes, I hear good things about Kenya. And where was the other place we talked about?
It's still in Kenya. It's still in Kenya, but on the coastal side. Coastal side in Mombasa, Malindi, Diani. Yeah, that's like another side.
I remember there was a place that you said, in verbatim, your statement was, oh, we go there, we're definitely losing you.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yes, we will lose you. I don't want to embarrass you on air, so I'm going to say it.
Okay, we'll leave that for off-air discussion.
Absolutely. Oh my God, Albu, this has been mind-boggling, very educative. I admire the fact that we have different opinions, like on extreme ends of the spectrum, but we can still accommodate each other's thoughts. And that in itself is a massive component of emotional intelligence, that you can actually have the ability to critically think and question what you believe without judging the other side. So I appreciate you for always being the main ingredient that nourishes that part of my life. And
Thank you very much.
That when we meet, whatever chemistry we have online will reflect physically and we don't hate each other's guts. That's actually one fear I have.
What if
we meet in person you're just like, oh my God, Yvette, this is not what I expected. Like, you're so much better just being an online buddy.
Wow. No, I can say this for certain, right? Actually, I'm a lot more retarded in person. Seriously, I like to laugh.
Mm.
So I make humor out of anything and everything. And I've got really, really inappropriate dark humor.
Do you laugh at yourself?
A lot.
Me too. I'm just like, damn, girl. Today, you are the donkey of the day.
Yeah. I am mostly the victim of my own humor. So if you're into that sort of thing, we will get along. However, if you're not,
it's a problem.
No, I don't know. No, I think, honestly, I believe on my end, if we're able to get along this now, then we should get along in person.
True.
If I don't like you from a distance, I'm not going to like you up close.
Got it.
But if I like you from a distance, then I'll like you up close. It's that simple. You know that whole trying to sell a certain facade or bravado? I don't like it. I don't like pretenders, and I spot them right away. I like people that are genuine, you know? I mean, there's no standard benchmark for being human, so you don't have to be one thing or the other, but at least be you.
True, because everybody else is taken.
Exactly, you know? I mean, worst case scenario, I don't like you or who you are. It's a hell of a lot better than me liking you for who you're not.
Facts.
You know?
And we've become so good at putting on that facade. So good. So good.
Yes.
Like when I did my, you know that I went through my mental turmoil last year and I started having dark thoughts about taking my own life. It had never happened to me before. And
by the way, I'm holding that against you, by the way. You should know.
And you know what I realized, Abu? As much as people are so vocal about mental health, there's actually no blueprint on how to deal with it. There are random occasions where I get open to some people and their immediate reaction was like, I don't know what to do. And there were the most random people who they actually smelt it out of me. They felt a shift in my energy and they would reach out and they would be like, how can I help? And it was actually mind-boggling because it's the one time where my expectations did not match with my reality at all. For example, there would be and we would engross in conversation that would allow me to deviate from the battles that I was facing. And that in itself...
Yeah, but I knew you were struggling.
Yes.
I knew you were struggling. And I gave you an avenue to open up.
Correct.
And you ran away.
But I'm just opening up in baby steps.
Get out. Get out. You ran away, you little...
I mean, I'm here for the vocals and the free therapy. You're
and
stuck
that was,
with
and
me.
That was what I meant by I'm holding that against you. I gave you a window and you ran away. Anyway, it's not about me.
Yes.
You know, but here's the thing. I'll tell you this. That happened to you because you overestimated yourself. Here's the thing, Yvette. A lot of people are quick to jump and judge other people for having suicidal thoughts. Nobody is beyond it.
Nobody.
Truth is, you never see it coming.
True.
And it's a downward spiral from something you never anticipated. For instance, I'll give you a very, very simple example. You have a child, a young man. A young man goes to university. He's studying engineering, right? He's studying to be a civil engineer. Now, first semester, first year, right? First test in technical drawing, he fails it woefully, right? It's technical drawing. He sits down at night and he thinks, fucking hell, I failed technical drawing. How the fuck do you fail technical drawing? I failed technical drawing. That means I don't even stand a chance with engineering, but I've already enrolled in engineering, which means I'm not going to graduate. I'm not going to have a degree. I'm not going to have a diploma, which means I'm unemployable. You know,
I'm gonna be
if I'm unemployable, I'm never gonna have a job. Oh my god, yeah, I'm gonna be a statistic. I'm gonna be a freeloader. I'm gonna live, you know, in the guest room of a relative. Oh my god, that means that I'm never gonna get married because nobody's gonna. I'm not desirable. If I can't get married, it means I can't have a family. I'm useless. I'm useless to everybody. Oh my god, the best thing I can do for my loved ones and the whole world is to die.
Into perspective, please. I'm actually feeling guilty for interrupting you.
Spiral.
But my goosebumps are actually up because that's exactly what happens. And then you have these moments where you try to intercept those thoughts, but then they repeat themselves.
And it doesn't work. It doesn't work because that process is very logical.
Exactly. And it actually that process makes sense.
Is very logical. Yes, it does. All the sense in the world. And you come to the very logical conclusion that the best thing you can do for your loved ones and the most loving gesture is to just die.
Die.
Yeah. I've seen it happen many, many times. Seriously.
But so what do you think
people think
is the main quality that makes you exercise that restraint versus those who actually successfully do it? What's that one thing that
will... There's no, let me tell you something, Yvette. There's no restraining yourself from that compulsion.
Mm.
There is no way to avoid it at all. There's just a way to counteract it.
Mm.
And what I generally advise people to do is this. The feeling... Suicidal thoughts comes from the feeling of uselessness, right? You're absolutely and totally useless. Now, what I tell people to do is listen, let's not jump too quick to killing ourselves. Killing yourself, dying is very final, right? It's like final.
There's no coming
back. We can always do that tomorrow. We can do that tomorrow. It's final. It's a final move, so we can do it tomorrow, right? For today, let's try something before we get to tomorrow and do the final. So for today, right, look around yourself. Find the tiniest, most insignificant problem. Solve it. Pick the tiniest problem in your life, even if it's just that pair of sock. That sock that's sitting there and should be in the basket instead of there. Get up, pick it up, put it in the laundry basket. That's a problem you solved.
True.
You know, see how you feel after solving that problem. Okay, you were able to solve this problem, so you're not entirely useless. Okay, now let's escalate a bit. Let's go with a slightly more difficult problem. Can we do that? See how you feel about yourself after you achieve that.
Incremental.
The same way you spiral down, yes, you spiral upwards.
But why is it so much harder to spiral upwards?
Because destruction is a lot...
Destruction?
No, destruction is a lot easier than creation.
Caption. Abu Gems.
It takes I'm but gonna a single second. That,
the voice and the way he just said it. Destruction.
It's far easier than creation. It takes but a single second to level an entire city with a bomb, but it takes a long while to crack that bomb and to get it to where you need it to, you know.
Detonate.
And it takes a long time, an even longer time, to rebuild that city. Yes, destruction is always far simpler than creation.
And also, creation is uncertain because it's you giving a certain energy, but only until you get to the outcome is when you can look back and say, this is why I had to go through that.
But with destruction, you
already know what the outcome is. I'm a failure, I'm going to die, exactly. I'm going to do this.
It's instant gratification versus delayed gratification.
Mm.
With destruction, the gratification is instant. With creation, the gratification is delayed. It's a process. You have to get to the end. It's just, you know, and the end is far away.
Just
so, yeah. But the same way you spiral downwards, you have to spiral upwards. It's the same formula, just in reverse, you know? Mm-hmm. So nobody's above getting to a place where they feel, oh, God, please just take me. Or, you know what? I'm going to lend you a hand.
You know? And it's my hand.
There you go. If you're not going to do it, I will do it myself.
DIY.
There you go. But it can happen to anyone.
It can.
I feel, Yvette, that you were too hard on yourself. You held yourself to too unreasonable a standard. And you overestimated yourself.
That's true.
You were unreasonable towards yourself. And when it happened, rather than facing it and dealing with it, facing that demon and dealing with it, you allowed yourself to be ashamed of yourself for going through that.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes. And even worse off, the part that I couldn't understand is, for me, losing my mom will forever be my worst experience, because that's like the one thing that was mine, you know?
Yeah.
Do or die, good or bad, through thick and thin, we had each other regardless of how bad it was. So being stripped naked and wondering where to put all that love and affection, and I still survived through that. It was not making sense why these demons were really... I'm work in progress. I'm work in progress. I can say...
See, that's good. That's the main thing that you misjudged, believing that you had survived. Mm. You actually didn't. And that was what, you know, did you in. Mm.
So is this a ticking time bomb waiting to explode?
Yes. You had a lot of unresolved issues.
True.
You know, you distracted yourself efficiently for all these years.
Correct. I didn't. I moaned instead of actually feeling my feelings.
Yes.
And then
yes.
came a failed relationship, followed by getting fired from a job that I was so good at, because I gave them an ultimatum, and they were like, "Oh, girl, the door." And I was just like, all aspects of my life are falling apart. Like, I just need that one thing that can reassure me that I have something right. And there was nothing.
See, that's the thing. It wasn't all aspects of your life that was falling apart. It was everything you had built to distract yourself from you, from your grief, that fell apart. And all of those things falling apart just left you open to all those demons to come after you.
It was fight or flight.
Yes. And unfortunately, you allowed yourself to feel. Yeah, now.
Fighting. This so is learn evidence from it. Of me fighting, actually.
Yes, because... learn from it. And know that, listen, there's no shame in that fight. And you will lose a few battles during that fight.
Oh, yes.
And there is no shame in that. And I will
still lose a few battles moving forward. Like, there's no ending. This is your last fight in life.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hell no.
No. No, not that this is your last fight. No, this isn't your last failure or loss. You will lose another battle, undoubtedly. But just remember that there is no shame in that loss. What did you in the last time was the fact that you allowed yourself to feel ashamed of where you were. And this was the reason why you kept running from dealing with it.
Yes.
I mean, I know this for a fact, because I just told you, you ran away. And you ran away because you were too ashamed to admit to me that, listen, yeah, I'm thinking about buying a ticket out of this shit fuck hole.
I'm out.
It's okay.
Please.
It's all right. It happens to all of us.
True.
It can happen to anyone.
True.
And it takes strength to stand up and say, yes, this is the demon I'm facing, but I'm ready to fight it.
True.
You know? It's that simple. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right. That was a lot. Any parting shots, Abu? Actually thinking I might split this into two episodes. Create some anticipation.
Yes, perhaps.
Let's see the kind of
that might be. That might be
the first segment.
Yeah, if your viewers are going to think, who is this retarded person that she has found?
Well, but, retarded person that I enjoy speaking to. So that's more than good
careful
enough.
Now. That says a bit about you.
Yeah. I mean, I've never questioned your stupidity. Like, I know. I mean, there's some things. I have played stupid games and I've won stupid prizes.
Haven't we all, my dear friend? We all make stupid choices through life. I tell you, there's some decisions I've made. There's some things I've done in this life that if I would tell them to you, you would think very differently of me. I assure you. I've made some pretty questionable judgment calls. Oh, man, I've had moments where, when I remember them now, I think to myself, oh, bloody fuck, what the hell?
Like, who the hell was
stupid,
that? He's an imposter.
I know it was
body.
Me. No, I know it was me. However, I'm thinking, you miserable, stupid piece of shit. What the hell were you thinking? How
hell?
Did you see that ending?
Well, sometimes, gotta do it for
there
the
was,
ride.
There was absolutely no positive outcome from that. But you went on ahead anyway.
Nobody.
You
know. Absolutely some of them nobody. Have had, Abu, yeah. Let's go.
And some of them have had very, very bad physical consequences, I assure you. You know, I've got a cracked rib to prove one of them.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. I'm not even
but,
gonna ask.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna ask.
No, don't ask. Don't ask.
Okay.
Don't ask. Okay. Cool. So yeah, you know, we've all made stupid judgment calls, stupid choices. It's part of growing up.
Yes,
passing words. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think should be? What do you think should be? You know.
Why should I deprive Gistmongers from listening to your voice for the next few minutes?
No, oh God, with the voice again.
So I'm not going to
passing words. Passing words is my passing words to people are, you know, just take life easy. Mm. You know, don't be in too much of a hurry.
Slowly is the fastest take it as way it comes. To get there.
Yeah, take it as it comes. Take whatever cards life deal you. Play the best goddamn hand you can until the universe decides to deal you a new hand. You know, it is what
moving.
It is. Yes. Don't be in too much of a hurry. And whatever state you find yourself in, know that it is temporary, for better or worse.
Mm.
It is temporary. Things will get better and they will get worse. So brace yourself.
Come on.
Brace yourself.
And enjoy the ride.
The unpredictable fucking beauty of life. It's a wild roller coaster ride.
Extremely wild.
Take it. Period.
That's it.
Take it.
Couldn't have ended it better.
That's it. Take it and laugh. For the rest, just laugh.
Just
yeah?
Laugh. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at everything. Mm-hmm. It's never that serious.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. So, last thing after this, the
go
culmination
on.
Of everything I've said.
Okay.
So I just remember a very old colleague of mine, Simon, once said to me, my friend, life
it's
can
so
be
funny.
One of two
his,
things.
His name is Simon, and he said, so Simon says,
yes.
Okay, proceed.
Yes, yes. Life can be one of two things, tragedy or comedy. It all depends on how you choose to look at it.
Ooh. I have
so make your life comedy.
Like. I say life is a strip club. Mm-hmm. You're either dancing or throwing the money. You choose which side you belong.
Can I be throwing the money and be naked at the same time? This feels more crafty.
I'm down with you, Abu. It's a wrap.
Yep. Thank
bye,
you
guys.
Very much, Yvette.
Do you want to say bye to everyone?
Bye-bye. Yes, bye-bye, everybody. And thank you very much for listening to me. And
stay
yes.
True, stay you.
Thank you. Yep. Period.
Yay!